Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles to three openings tonight. One in the book of Romans, chapter 8. John, chapter 1. And Ephesians, chapter 2. Romans, chapter 8 is our golden text for the new year. Romans 8 and 37. And we're going to deal with it somewhat tonight to lay some groundwork on it in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I want you to notice something here very specifically in this verse, and I'll give you a subject in a few moments. In this 37th verse, it says in Romans 8, 37, nay, in all these things, have named a list of things, all kind of things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I want you to notice he didn't say conquerors. He didn't say conquerors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who with me now?
Yep.
Huh? Yep. See, that word more is there for a reason. We are more than conquerors. In other words, in your, when you're in the right place, nothing can conquer you. All these satanic powers that conquering people's life can't conquer you because you're more than a conqueror. All right. Then we read in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John Gospel, chapter 1. I want to read a few verses out of John 1 to establish the fact and what I'm about to teach you tonight, about to impart to you. In John chapter 1, we want to look at verse 14. And I better give you a subject matter so you can wear the anointing on it. Wearing the more than a conqueror grace. Mm-hmm. Wearing the more than a conqueror grace. Now, the word grace has been displaced in the body of Christ by improper teaching. Grace did not come to destroy the law. It came to give us the ability to fulfill the law in Christ. Mm-hmm. So holiness and sanctification and doing right, all is still in place. But because of a lot of fast food teaching, grace seemed to have lost its nutrition, or spiritual nutrition, that we got to have it now. And tonight you're going to see some things about grace. I'm going to give you some definition about it. But just then the Holy Spirit told me it's grace been hammered in the church like fast food. But it's not. It's the most deepest thing in the scripture. And we'll see that tonight. All right, so here in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh. You see that?
Yes.
And dwell among us. You know the word he's talking about, Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And dwell among us, and we beheld his what?
Glory.
All right, now here's glory. Glory is involved with grace. God took all that he is, all his glory, and packed it in grace. And the reason he packed it in grace so you can pack it. God took all of his glory and packed it in grace and give you grace so you can carry his grace and glory. All that he is, all that he has, all that he can do. And by grace and through faith, you can activate it. By grace, through faith, you can activate all of God's glory. I mean, all of God, all of Jesus, all of the Holy Spirit. They're all impacted in grace. Now watch what it said. Scripture going to prove it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Look what he said. Full of what?
Grace
and truth. Just think about that. In order to be more than a conqueror, you're going to have the glory of God. You're going to have the grace of God. And you're going to have the truth. Rightly divided, not just emotion, excitement, but you have to have an experience where the Holy Spirit can take you into a deeper dimension of God. Not just an excitement or good, you know, not just an announcement, you need an anointing.
Yes.
All right. Now he says here, full, talking about Jesus, full of grace and truth. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, is Jesus in you?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what that mean?
I'm full of grace.
I'm full of grace and truth, but I have to have revelation of it.
Yes,
all right? Let's look at the sixteen verse. And of his fullness, read this with me, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. I'm going to give you some definition of grace. It'll make it more astonishing to you in a few moments. And then in the 17th verse, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Look, they're running together. You see that? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not only truth came by Jesus Christ, but grace came that I can activate that truth in my life. Powerfully. By grace through faith. We'll see that in a few moments in another scripture. Now, in Ephesians 2, turn that with me. Ephesians 2. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because I want you to see this. We talk about wearing this conqueror, more than a conqueror of grace. You're going to need it in this disgraceful society. We're living now in a disgraceful society. They have no respect for God. They're making up their own rule. We're going to walk through this. But by wearing this grace, this conquering grace anointing, you'll be able to do it. But you have to understand what you're doing. See, all victories are already paid for.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I want to look at this a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Underline that, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Exceeding riches of his grace. You see that? And then look, go on to the 8th verse, for by grace are you saved. Now notice this. By grace are you saved through faith. So the sad thing is, a lot of time people are trying to work faith without grace. If you don't understand the grace aspect of it, your faith is going to be weak. And you don't have time for your faith to be weak now. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. All right. In chapter 3 of that same opening in Ephesians, I want to look at verse 2 of chapter 3. Because there are some unfolding, my brothers and sisters, of the mystery of grace. The Holy Spirit had to unfold the mystery of grace. We may have had a history on grace, but you can't function by history. You can't function by what Abraham did. You got to do it. You see? And the power, you see, let me give you something to make you want to hear me. Anything you see in the Old Testament, you ought to be able to do it better.
Yes, sir.
Because of grace.
Yes, sir.
See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have this grace you have. This grace come in the New Testament. This grace come after the cross. So Daniel in the lion den, you more powerful than that.
Right.
But if you're only looking at the history, and you see a lion den don't have to be a lion den, but it's still a lion den.
Yes.
You're still dealing with lions.
Right. Yeah.
Are you following me? But when you learn how to wear this more than a conqueror grace, you know anybody, anything that touch you is already defeated.
Yes.
And anybody you minister to, you're just powerful. You're just that powerful. But you have to understand grace. See, people try to operate the gifts of the Spirit, try to operate in the fruit of the Spirit without grace, but grace is all of them together. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now, we looked at the 7 and 8 verse. We're now in the third chapter. Now, look at the second verse. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, it's a special time, which is given to me, to you all. Now, this is an apostolic teaching here. Paul is teaching, and he says in the 7th verse, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, you see it? Of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And then look at verse 8. Unto me whom is less than the least of all sent is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, when we talk about wearing the more than a conqueror grace, let me give you a few definitions of grace in the Greek Grace is divine substance from heaven. Grace is divine substance from heaven. Here's some divine influences that grace should have on your heart. One of them is so grand, acceptable, because of grace. With all my weakness, all my shortcomings, all my mistakes, because of grace, I know I'm acceptable in the eyesight of God. And then all of the benefits that come through Jesus and come through the cross and through the resurrection and through the ascension and through the seated position of Christ and sending of the Holy Spirit, Jesus coming back again and the blood, all of that is a grace. It's grace benefits. Write down grace benefits. Grace also favor, gifts, joy, liberality. Grace makes you think wisely. See, I'm hearing now something that the church have not dealt with. I want you to get it, dude. Having a grace mindset. The grace mindset is this. What I'm praying about or what I'm decreeing is already finished.
Amen.
And so faith can't work without grace. Faith has no resources without grace. Grace is the resource because grace is the favor of God sending Jesus to die for us. And so one of the trick was the enemy has used many years, probably hundreds of years, on the church not to understand grace. Grace sounds like a little weak word. And then he's had ministers to teach it wrongly, sounding right.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, in a person, you hear grace, some people get turned off because it had not been taught properly. And as the apostolic and prophetic, we have to correct that in the church. In a time like this, we have to know and understand that we're wearing a real powerful anointing and grace when you're wearing the grace of God. Okay. Here's another look at grace you should understand. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness is goodwill, is loving, is kindness, is favor. Listen to this. Of the loving kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon soul, turning to Christ, keep strengthening and increasing them in the grace of God. Here's another aspect I want you to get. The spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. I'm trying to get you ready when I take off. I fly my plane. I fly over the church every time I take off. The Lord just bless me. Right there, airport, right there. You can walk over there. And so every time I leave, when I left to go to Georgia today, I flew right over the church. Flew back over it. It's amazing. But for the plane to take off, you got to be on. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is get you on the plane before I take off. You know, because you can sit there and you know, say, well, yeah, And then when I start giving hot points, you ain't gonna be able to keep up with them. The cross of Christ is the power of grace space that belongs to the children of God. And grace is wrapped in the blood of Jesus. So you can't function in grace without blood power. You can't function in grace without truth. Now, listen, my brothers and sisters, we're going to get further than excitement. Amen. Yeah. We got to get to the point where we can execute. Yes. Write that down. We got to get further than entertainment. Yes, sir. We got to get to a place where we can stand up and hold our ground. Yes. In the power of God. And that's where I'm trying to bring you. When you understand grace, you're releasing resurrection power. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Grace and glory flows together. When you understand grace, you got all of God with you. Everything God can do is with you. And you know it. You don't have to feel nothing. It's a divine favor. It's a divine truth that God is with me. Amen. And if God is with me, who can be against me? Yes. Listen, you listening? Yes, grace dominion supersede all worldly and satanic opinion. Whatever the enemy try to bring up on your life, if you understand the power of grace that you're wearing, is just an opinion because you're walking in divine dominion. Yes, sir. And I wrote this down because I believe we need to have this. May grace be put in place fully in our faith. You know, to a certain degree, we've been trying to operate in faith, but we had not had the understanding of grace enough. Sometime our faith was weak, and when it could have been strong. Now, anytime you try to operate in faith now, I want you to ask yourself, where my grace at? You see? Because you see, When you're operating in grace properly, you're actually operating in favor and faith. And the favor comes first.
Amen.
And the faith is the vehicle for you to receive it. We must travel the revelation of grace properly by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one can lead you properly in grace. Because he's the only one got a full revelation of what happened on the cross. He's the only one got a full revelation of what happened in the resurrection. He's the only one, the Holy Spirit. So you, I don't care how many scriptures you know and how many prayers you prayed, you can't fully operate in grace without the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit, I really believe the Holy Spirit stirred up blood in your grace. I said it to you, but I'm going to say it to you again. The glory of the Lord is revealed in grace and truth and spirit, life and light. You read the first chapter of John, it says in him was life, and his life was the light of the world. Grace takes you in supernatural life, supernatural light, supernatural truths, and operating in a supernatural spirit. And my sister brother, don't have to feel a thing.
That's right.
Because you know it's true. See. Never let your capacity in the spirit go only by feeling. Because Satan comes out and can stir the air and make it feel a little funny, you know. But when you know it, turn to Hebrews 4:16. Faith cannot work properly without a revelation of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Faith. Now you're going to see some places where you thought your faith was failing, but it didn't have grace backup. But after the night, you'll be able to say, all right, now I got to make sure I'm walking in the favor of God. I'm walking in the power of the cross. I'm walking in the power of the resurrection. I'm walking in the power of the ascension. I'm walking in the power of the seated position. I'm seated with him.
Yes, sir.
I'm walking in the power of the name. I've been given the name. I have the name of Jesus. That's a grace given to me.
Yes,
see, everything God turned over to you, he turned it over to you by grace.
Okay.
Let us therefore come boldly, for Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne. Why would God... Why all these other things he didn't give a throne? Why grace have a throne? He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. He made a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
That's good, Apostle.
You dealing with something. And you got a revelation now. You turn to Hebrews 4:16 and say, Father, I'm coming to the throne of grace. I need some help.
Yes.
Supernatural help.
Yes, sir.
Every miracle, every gift, every fruit got to have grace on it.
Amen.
See, the throne of grace. Let us therefore come bold. See, we come boldly to the throne of grace because we're going to know we're going to find the answer.
Yes.
That nothing grace can't handle. And see, Satan tried to make grace a weak subject. And then after that, after a weak subject, even the word grace sound weak. Turn to Hebrews, turn to Romans 5 and 2. Favor, listen, favor is grace in manifestation. Say it.
Favor is grace.
I heard the Lord say it. Just that. I have you wrapped in my favor.
Yeah.
But you have to know how to open it up. It's there, He who wears favor, he who wears grace can't be regular. You know why? Grace is packing the revelation of the whole thing. Everything God has done, want to do, and will do if you ask him, is all wrapped in grace. Because if Jesus had not died, we wouldn't be here. Romans 5:2, favor is grace in manifestation, by whom also we have access by faith, look here, into this grace. What do you say next? We stand, and what else? Man, grace must be important. Wait a minute. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Huh? Wherein we stand. So whenever you're praying, whenever you're trying to operate in faith, you better be standing in grace. Make it clear. Make it clear, Holy Spirit. What I mean by standing in grace, grace is, Jesus came full of grace and truth. So when you say grace is synonymous with Jesus and all that he had done. So saying grace is like saying Jesus. And you can't say Jesus without grace. Because when you say in the name of Jesus, you better understand it's got to come out of grace. See, we save by grace through faith. See, so faith really is not the foundation. Grace is. And that's why the enemy don't want the body of Christ to know about the grace of God. He want to bring grace as some substitute that you can sin and do all you want to do. Grace got you. No, grace came that you might not sin. Grace came to empower you. I'm empowered by grace. Say that.
I'm empowered by grace.
If I make a mistake, I repent, and grace come take me and put me back in place. I'm empowered by grace. I've decided to live a grace-empowered life.
Amen.
Not by might, nor by power, but I'm going to live by grace. God's hand on me. Turn to Romans 5:12. Now, you ain't said nothing tonight yet. You ought to say something here now. Failure, listen, my brother and sister, is not in grace vocabulary. Failure is not in grace vocabulary. In other words, when you function in grace, you can't fail. See? Why? Because grace deal with finish. Grace does not deal with facts. It does not deal with fighting. We fight somebody, fighting the devil. You don't fight somebody who already whooped. So when you function in grace properly, you don't have to worry about how things look. You already know when Jesus was placed in the grave, he already knew how he's going to come out. So when you're operating in grace along with your faith, temporary things that seem like nothing going to happen, you got to go in there already knowing how this is going to come out. In my favor. So you can see what have happened Faith. We taught faith. We got to teach faith. But you can't leave grace out. By grace, through faith. Five and 12. Psalm 5:12. That's what it is. No, I want, where am I? Where was I? No, that's the wrong one. I want you to have, I went to Romans 5:2. I want to go no. Failure is not in grace vocabulary. It's Psalm 5:12. That's a shield of favor? For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and that's with grace. Would I compass him as with a shield? So it's talking about the shield of grace,
yes.
The shield of favor. You remember he talked about in Ephesians 6, the shield of faith?
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, the shield of faith can't work right without the shield of favor. Now, you can talk about yourself like you want, but I call myself God's favorite. I accept what Jesus did for me. Ain't nobody Leroy what Jesus did, and I'm gonna walk in grace and walk by faith. Yeah. Sheila Fable. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, favorite scripture, you've wrote your scriptures many times, but I'm going to say something about it in teaching this lesson on grace and wearing the more than conqueror grace, being more than a conqueror. Being more than a conqueror grace you wear. In Galatians 3, 13, 14, a favorite scripture, it says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I said that to say this, flowing in blood is how grace releases power. Now, what you mean by flowing in blood? What you mean by flowing in blood? Flowing in the revelation of the cross, the revelation of Christ, and what was done on that cross is the very thing that releases the power of grace. Everything is forever settled. If the gospel of grace is preached the right way, look at John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Preach it right. Preach it right. You just preach it right. You got to preach it right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been watching, studying my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, and I noticed when he preaching and the people, they're writing notes and they're paying attention, he make them say something. Don't just sit there and eat with no appreciation. My, this tastes some good. Hallelujah. I know a lot of times people taking notes in, you know, and I'm kind of moving from the all emotional vein. I'm trying to stir you up. You need to know how to sit down.
Yes.
You need to know how to stand your ground.
Yes.
You need to know how to stand up when everybody else falling down.
Yes.
And you're not going to be able to do that unless you got something under your belt.
Yes.
Now here is a powerful statement I want you to get. future become present when grace is released. Here in Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, for it, if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. 16th verse says, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man, verse 17, offense, death ran by one, much more, oh my, they which receive abundance of grace, could go, and the gift of righteousness, yes, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Abundance of grace. You know, I believe that that has to synchronize with a verse, John 10:10. Say, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. I don't believe you can have the abundant life without abundant grace. See? You need to cry sometimes, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for it. I tell you, if you start doing that, whatever pressurizing you will get nervous. Because whatever coming against you already know is defeated. But you've got to come to know it. And when you start using that word grace, I'm under God's grace, yes, the enemy know you know something. Yes. And that's why he want to rob that word from us, but we're not going to let him take it from us. Amen? Amen. Let's look again at first. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to catch it because you can use it in your life. Finished victory walks in the footsteps of grace. Finished victory. Say this with me. Finished victory walks in the footstep of grace. Footsteps is plural, footsteps. Look at this scripture now in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see it? And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Make sure you're packing. Make sure you're packing. Make sure you don't let your body overrule you. Don't let the situation overrule you. Make sure you know you're packing grace. Look at the way. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, I'm not what I am without the grace. And then twice use the word I am. You know what I am mean? Huh? Come on. Can you define I am? I am. Yeah. Exactly what God said I am. I have. Exactly what God said I have. See? The I am-ness of your life is based on you understanding grace. Because you have Satan sending you a substitute to make you think your life is not making it, but if you're standing in your I am, you know that's only temporary. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So if I don't understand grace, I can't walk in my I am then. See,
I'm the owner of my house because I have no mortgage on it. And so when I get home, ain't nobody gonna ask me, can I go in my house? Because I own it. Whatever grace do with your life. He paid, your life is paid for. But you got to understand what he paid it with. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, nobody here, you have no situation in here in just these 40 minutes that you can't handle. If you were listening, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how long it's been. You let grace take it over. And don't go by what you just seen. Go by what you believe in. And grace got to manifest. See, when grace and faith get together, they're unstoppable. But a lot of times we're sending faith out there by itself without grace backup. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see that? And his grace, I mean, he used the word grace in that verse three times. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That means it possibly could be in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But the grace of God, which was with me. So this statement I wrote down for you, fulfilling the will of God by grace through faith. Now here's, turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 9. And write this in your note. Knowing how to yield to the grace of God. Knowing how to yield to the grace of God. In Hebrews 2, 9, it said, but we see Jesus, who made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then in James 4:6. James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. How many of y'all want more grace on your life? And then, my brothers and sisters, I dare not teach this lesson and not say this to you as I was studying. Grace stewardship must be understood. Grace stewardship. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Grace stewardship must be understood. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. So there is revealing that grace is manifold. It's not one level of grace. It's a multitude of grace power can be put on you. Every man has received a gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, whatever you're dealing with, whenever you're dealing with it, there's a grace can handle it.
Yes,
we talked about abundant grace, didn't we?
Yes,
now we're talking about manifold grace.
Yes,
wow. Abundant grace, manifold grace. Unmerited favor. Unmeasurable favor.
God's hands of grace is upon me. Upon my loved one. Are you seeing this? Huh? So what you dealing with? What's your last prayer? What you need for God to move on for you on your behalf? Tonight he's talking to you. He's telling you, soak yourself in my grace. And you cannot soak in my grace and be disgraced. I speak to you tonight to let you know I'm moving on your behalf. You got to accept it by grace. You can't accept it by merit, what you did, by your work, how good you pray. You got to accept it by my grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. That's 1 Peter 4 and 10. Look at 5 and 5. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, that's the right one? Yeah. Ye younger, submit yourself unto the elders. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes. We almost have lost that, you know. Right. In my back. About 40 years ago, we would respect our elders. They walk in the room, we shut up. But now they're playing with some little toy upside the wall, ain't paying you no mind. You're just flying through the air. But I still hold my ground with my grandchildren. You're going to respect me and my mom. They know it. You said, Papa? Yeah, right. Put that thing down. Don't ever be talking when I'm talking. Why you talk in when my younger day you talk about it'll slap slap you to heaven. Bring them back to it. Make them respect you. Stop them children from ruling you. Talk about what they want to do. You ain't got no want. I remember one time some years ago, about 20 years ago, her son said, Mama, this is what I want to do, huh? She said, boy, you ain't got no wants. Shut up. You ain't got no wants. I'll tell you what they want. Now the children telling y'all what they want. I hold it to the ground. I don't play. Because I know what they need to know, you know what I'm saying? And, I ain't going for that. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. With humility for God, you see what he's saying? Ooh. For God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. Now notice in my clothes, and notice glory full of grace and truth is in John 1:14. Glory, the fullness of God's presence, grace, God's favor, truth, and God's freedom. My goodness. Going beyond the history of grace, permitting the Holy Spirit to open the mystery of grace. You know, we see a lot of people get blessed by grace. That's history. But we need the Holy Spirit to open the mystery of grace to us. In other words, unfold it to us, that we can use it along with our faith. Yes, Ephesians 3:3, quickly. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. And then you go to the seventh verse. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I mean, Ephesians 3. Verse 8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. You see that? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In other words, my brother and sister, I'll wrap up. This divine substance of grace must fall back in place for our faith, for truth, for prayer, for meditation of the word. We're always going to have to be looking for grace.
Yes, sir.
I go as far as this, to say this. Grace is the only thing that can put this book in place. And so why he want to take lightly of grace and just preach a bunch of popular subjects? It's because they know once you start walking in grace, you leave out your night walking in grace and study scripture yourself about grace and about the favor of God. The favor of God on you. Remember the shield of favor? Psalm 5:12. What a combination would be the shield of favor and the shield of faith on your life. Covered. I'm fully covered. I'm fully covered. It's not by feeling. It's not by facts, my brother and sister. It's by truth that you must wear the more than conqueror grace.